to chapter 4, verse 7, and so forth. But what I want to do is I want to give you a sense of, you know, who I am. That's not the screen that should be there. This is what is this thing doing? Hey, Bill, you know how this thing works? What is this crazy thing doing? Are you there, Bill? No? I don't know. This thing has lost its mind. Which, you know, we'll sort this out. What are we doing? I just wanted to do a... It won't even come out of there. I just wanted to do the slideshow starting with the first slide.
That's all I wanted to do.
Once again, we find ourselves in complete harmony. It's awesome. Will that work? Will that work? Yeah, I can. Let me tell you a story as Pastor Bill works on this. I had this, believe it or not, this is entirely providential. I had a disaster, a semi-disaster. It wasn't like end-of-the-world disaster. It was a kitchen disaster this morning. And now, you know, I'm living as a bachelor, and I have this little slow cooker, and I'm multitasking, which I don't remember who, but one of the ladies in the church has told me recently that it's entirely impossible for men to multitask. Nevertheless, I just soldier on, and I had a problem fitting these. I don't want to get you all like hungry and everything right here at the beginning of my. But I got these short ribs, and I had them there in the deal. I like to slow cook those things, and it fits on my diet, and it's really good eats. Where was I? Oh, they. I'm thinking about dinner. So, you know, they started with the heat. As the heat began to build, they started and knocking the top off. So I had to fix that. And so I went and I had coffee brewing at the same time. And I use this little clever dripper, it's called. It's sort of a slow drip kind of a thing. And as I reached for a paper plate, apologies to the trees of the state of Michigan and so forth, and I use almost entirely. Oh, you got to get in that thing? Okay, no, that's fine. I don't want to shout out all my passwords here.
All right, are you ready? The
total time for, I don't know, it's timing the slideshow for some reason. I want to say no. No, now will it come back and work with me? I'll give it back to you. Now you're in. So here we are. The disaster is occurring. I'm reaching for a paper plate. My elbow hit the clever dripper. It's full of boiling water and grounds and coffee. And suddenly it's just all over the kitchen floor. And that was my mini disaster. And I had an utterance came forth at that moment. And it was somewhere a cross between like a Homer Simpson kind of sound and a pirate. Those two things combined, but I won't try and repeat it. And I looked at the floor, and here's this horrible mess, and I immediately thought of Oakwood Bible Church. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it did give me this thought that, you know, you got some things, you got a few issues here. But, you know, it's not time to panic. It's time to just, you know, take on board what's in front of you. And once again, apologies to the trees of Michigan. And about a roll of paper towels later, seriously, the whole thing was fixed in a matter of like 5 minutes. And we're like, there you go. Now that's starting to look a little more familiar. You know, I don't even care. We'll work around it. I got a Bible here, and we'll open that here in a minute. So, you know, there's a strategy involved in fixing any set of issues that may present themselves, and we got a few issues here at Oakwood, and that's what I wanted to use a couple of these slides to show, especially the one that is a reminder of. Now, this could very well be some kind of providential indication from God that today is not the day to be talking about IPM. I don't know. We'll see. Whoops. That's a whole different. We don't know why. Let's reverse it again upon itself and give me the opposite of what we want here so that you can have what I want up there. Would that work? Oh, you're deep into the whole display routine there. Shouldn't have to do that. No. Again, is Mike still here? I want to thank him again for his that powerful prayer on the technical issues. Bro, thank you. Okay, all right, that's fine. That's the best we can do for the moment. I know what to do. Here's the goal. It occurred to me, I've been here 2 months. Okay, my name is Bob. My name is Bob Evans. I work for this outfit called Interim Pastor Ministries. You guys here at OBC actually asked me to come as a representative of IPM and do the IPM process here, which is designed to meet the needs of the church in a transitional period between the retirement of Pastor Steve and the hiring of the new pastor. I've been here exactly 2 months. Now, this thing is doing crazy stuff just on its own. But you see up there in the upper right-hand corner, that the intention of that is to give you this overview of what the IPM process looks like and where we actually are. And I'm pointing right now up here and see if this works. No, this isn't talking to... Nothing's working. Oh, well. If a church is sad, we want to help them deal with grief. If a church has divisions, we want to help them regroup. If a church has issues, we want to identify them. We want to solve problems, evaluate, improve ministries, develop leaders and workers, unite the church around a shared vision and a ministry plan, and then coach, finally, the pastor search process so that when the new pastor comes, he is going to come into a healthy, united congregation and have a future and a hope and a blessing that we can actually enter in to an era of kingdom effectiveness such as we have not seen at Oakwood in a good long while. So that takes a process, and there's at least you can see a part of that up there on the screen, I believe. If there's, yeah, you can sort of see one end of it. If it ain't one thing, it's another. But here it is, connecting with people, and that's essentially where we are. And I have met with about 90 Oakwood people in a meaningful conversation, either around a dinner table or at a cafe or in a coffee shop or in my office. And we've had deep conversations, and I've done a lot of listening. And I have heard the hopes and the dreams and the concerns of that many souls. And it looks like that's about how many people that might be here today. So I feel pretty well connected with a whole lot of you, and I think that's awesome. Now we're actually moving in the stage in which we're beginning to assess the health of the church. That's a part of the process. We've already applied about 3 standard instruments, diagnostic instruments that are provided for this process. And there's one more that's going into the books, and that's, I think, the subject of Pastor Bill's meeting with the board members today. We're getting this thing called Natural Church Development, and it's kind of a 30-person, and we're looking for, and he's already figured out how to get this dispersed in the congregation, to get 30 different voices, taking a look at where we are. Then we begin to facilitate some action, and ultimately then there's a strategic plan that's put in place. And what's meant by that is we look at the core beliefs. We look at the core values. What is the mission of the church? What is the purpose of the church? That is, what is that little piece of the mission field that God has designed Oakwood in this very day to focus on in order to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And then, you know, what is the vision? Like, where do we really want to be in the next couple years, even in the next year, in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years. And then we start asking some questions as a transition team. And that's the part that I didn't mention. But between the connecting with people and the assessing church health, what I've been doing is attempting to recruit some of you to be on a transition team, which is a leadership group that will invest many, many hours in sort of shepherding with my help the church through this transitional process and be looking at all these issues that I'm just briefly touching on here this morning, and will represent all of you, all of the various demographics that are a part of Oakwood, etc., will be a part of this team. And we'll be making, you know, like have some town meetings. We'll be reporting to the board. We'll be coming back to the congregation with specific recommendations. And then we'll lead into this strategic plan, after which, once we know where we're trying to head, what it is that God has called us to do, then we start thinking about how we can do this stuff. Okay? What strategy will we employ that could likely actually lead to a successful execution on this plan? Of course, everything bathed in prayer, which is foundational to this whole process, and we're not getting anywhere in our own strength. Only, okay, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? So we're trusting in Him, and that's really what our, and then we'll eventually get to the search in earnest for that new person that God is raising up, that new man to lead the church forward into this stage that we are looking for. All right, so here we are at our passage, and hopefully, I don't know if you can read any of this, but you do have an outline of this passage in front of you. This is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible, and I want you to turn with me to Ephesians 4, 7 through 16, and this will explain to you why I am so upbeat and positive about the prospects and the future of this great church. And I have tremendous hope, because my hope is in Jesus. And there are a few things about Jesus that we're going to discover in this passage as we go through it together in just a few moments. So here we are. Before I read, I'm going to start in verse 7 and go down through verse 16. So the passage this morning will be Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 7 down through verse 16. But please join me in a word of prayer. God, I thank you and I praise you and I worship your holy name, because you are a great God and you have raised up a great church, and this is a great people. And Lord, there is a great cause before us to actually do, having discovered that, yes, there's still a call. There's still a purpose for this church to spread the gospel any way we possibly can. And there's direction that's given to us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And we surrender this plan and this process to you, O God, and we plead for your provision in every step that we might take. Lord, bless this church. Pour out of your Holy Spirit and fill us with your presence and with your power, so that we might go to work together in joyful, united harmony in search of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Bless this church to that end in our time together this morning, as we look at all of these reasons why we can be filled today with hope. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me read these verses. But this is where we ended last week. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we're talking here about spiritual gifts. They make the body grow. And what is this picture? Because precisely what Paul has done is he set before us a picture of a fully functioning church. And now I'm going to give you a few reasons why we can absolutely be filled with hope today. Can I say that that's really an important thing for Oakwood Bible Church, is to be filled with hope? And that's why I want to speak words of encouragement everywhere I go to every single person. This is a great church. This is an awesome church with an awesome God and an awesome future. We have reasons, many, many reasons for hope. And the first one is this. Jesus, who is our Lord, the head of this church, is generous. It is in the DNA of God to be generous. He is a giver. In his very nature, he is a giver and not a taker. Take a moment, if you will, because Paul goes on, we read it, that lengthy quote. It was really directly out of Psalm chapter 68, Psalm 68 and verse 18. You can leave your thumb in Ephesians chapter 4 there and take a little trip with me back to the Psalms. This is Paul's text that he's preaching on here. And it's interesting because he's an apostle, so apostles have freedom, especially apostles that are writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to in fact do commentary on Old Testament texts. And that thing has a mind of its own, doesn't it? What's it doing up there? So, I don't know. Let's just shut that thing down. And we'll get back to the text. Verse 18. Now notice, here's a difference. There's a marked difference between this verse here in its Old Testament context and the way Paul uses it here in Ephesians chapter 4. Can you see what that difference is? Take a look at it. In Psalm 68, what he's doing, we don't have time to go into the full context of the psalm, but it's a typical ancient Near Eastern hymn to a victorious conquering king. And what does the victorious conquering king do in the picture here? Psalm 68 and verse 18, which you have open in front of you. He, in fact, ascends his throne. He brings all of his captives and all of their resources in a train behind him. He sits upon the throne and he receives tribute. He receives gifts from those whom he has conquered, right? But in Paul's reading of this, in his commentary in Ephesians chapter 4, and this is for a purpose, he wants us to be amazed. He wants us, in fact, to be shocked. He wants us to see what's going on. He's turning this verse upside down. He has freedom to do it. He's an apostle. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's functioning like a rabbi. He's doing a rabbinic commentary on this. But the conquering king is Jesus. He ascends, yes, he ascends even into the heavens, okay, his heavenly throne. And from there, what does he do? Does he receive gifts? No, he gives gifts. And this is putting a huge line under what I'm trying to tell you today, namely that he's generous. Now, he gives gifts to his people. He gives all of us gifts, spiritual gifts, okay? And it's really cool. Like, these are competencies. This isn't like the kind of grace that we need to get saved. It's not the kind of grace that we need to get sanctified, although in a sense, it's certainly, they're all connected. But this is charis, this is grace, and he has in mind, in the broader context, charismata, or grace gifts that are given freely to the people of God. This is a gifted church. Because Jesus is generous. And there isn't a single person sitting in this church that doesn't have competencies spiritually to be able to play a part in the growth and the edification of this church when we're working in the area that God has called us and equipped us to do. So he gives gifts to all. Verse 7. Now, he also, and this is an important part of what Paul wants to lay down for us. He gives gifted people to the church. Did we almost get in the same realm of where we are? Yeah. He gives gifted people to the church, verse 8 through 11, especially there in verse 11. And what do I mean by gifted people? Well, these are the so-called office gifts that are given to the church. And it's a gift. It's actually a gift. Unfortunately, we don't see that much in our current culture. People who function with titles or whatever in positions of leadership within local churches are not respected the way they used to be. In fact, I read the latest headline off of the most recent poll that I've seen in July of 2019 regarding the level of trust and respect that's granted to people, I guess people like me, is very similar to the level of trust and so forth that generally speaking in the American public is given to lawyers. How far we have fallen, my friends. This is an indication. Well, this all started a long time ago in America with the Vietnam War, the Watergate experience. We lost confidence in all of the institutions. And certainly we lost confidence. We have good reason. The televangelist scandals, the priest pedophile story, and all these crazy stuff that have just broken down confidence within the public toward any sort of religious leaders. But the headline of that study was, clergy, you know, pastors, people like Paul's talking about here, these gifted people that are gifts to the church, okay, are irrelevant, are considered even by the church going public in large measure to be essentially irrelevant. People don't go and talk to pastors about really serious issues. They'll try and find, professionals within the community to get advice from, whatever. And that's just fine. I'm not trying to defend a profession. I understand the phenomena. I see what's happening. But here at Oakwood, we have pastors. I can talk to you rather frankly here because I'm the guy that's going to be out of town in several months, right? I'm just passing through. So I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying what a beautiful thing it is for a pastor like me, whatever, to go to a prayer meeting. And I actually hear, we have prayer meeting here, by the way, on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock, and after we share a devotional from the Word and some information about stuff that needs to be prayed for, the men will go in one room, the ladies will stay, and there's some wonderful stuff that happens. I mean, there's prayer happening. People are crying out to Almighty God to show up and do mighty things, not only here at Oakwood, but around the world. It's a beautiful experience. You can check it out. But when I sit at a table with, like, it's usually about four or five guys, at least one or two of them will actually say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these guys that are working among us. And they might even use the word pastors. Thank you for those pastors. And I tell you, it's heartening for an old-timer like me to hear that. They might even go so far as to pray for me by name in that setting. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's a beautiful thing. So we're recognizing that, yeah, there are gifted people with gifts of leadership and et cetera, teaching gifts and whatnot, that are necessary for the fully functioning church to be working right. And that's what we're looking for Oakwood, a gifted person to come and to lead this beautiful congregation to the next stage of growth. So Jesus is generous. He gives gifts to all of us. He gives gifted people to the church. Secondly, this is the second reason for us to be filled with hope today, Jesus is wise. And what I mean about that is that, you know, like if you're working in an organization, it's nice to know what your job is. You want a clear job description in any organization. You want to know what the expectations are. And Jesus gives very, very clear instructions. He worked really hard at this for 3 years, modeling what I'm talking about. Sometimes people call it discipleship. It's essentially the same thing that Paul's talking about here, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. When it comes to the job description of all these office gifts, these pastors and teachers and whatever that we may have in any legitimate expression of the body of Christ anywhere, whatever its title may be, wherever that's true, God has given really clear job descriptions to spiritual leaders in these congregations. And it's just this one thing, you know? It's just this one thing. To equip the saints, that's the rest of us, right? For the work of the ministry. It used to be, in years gone by, the people used to think, and partly that was because of a particular grammatic construction in the English translation in the King James, and I'm not critical of the King James. I love the King James. But it kind of obfuscated this construction that's intended here, which is that these guys are given to the church for one reason, and that is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If the saints ain't equipped, ain't no work of the ministry going to get done. And to build up, notice, the body of Christ. It's right in there. Now, let me find this. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I'm in verse 12, for building up the body of Christ. So these things, it's kind of like a cascading effect. The preachers and the teachers and the pastors and the leaders and whatnot are hanging with the people. They're doing like Jesus did in this picture that Paul is giving us. How does this equipping stuff, you know, it's kind of an osteopath word. It's about sort of like, you know, I got a sore shoulder. I got to get that thing in the right place. Got to get some motion here prescribed. Got to get it set right. You know, it's like when all the joints are supplying what they're intended, everybody's in the right place, in the place that they're designed to fit, and they're functioning in that way. And look, man, we got health. Suddenly, we got health, we got growth, we got edification happening. We got an organization, okay, an organism, if you will, that is like highly functional. We're on a roll, man. Everybody's doing their thing and we're having fun as a result. Because, you know, and I keep saying this, there's nothing like doing what God has called you to do, what He has equipped you to do, what He has gifted you to do. There ain't nothing like it in the world as far as like delivering a sense of joy, meaning, and significance to the heart and to the soul of all of us. It's a gas to be following Jesus, serving Jesus, and doing what He has called and equipped us to do. Ain't nothing like it, man. It's fun. We need to get some more fun around here. I visited the young people today in Sunday school. I said, I'm looking for a fun squad. You guys, are you familiar with the idea of fun? They kind of smiled a little sheepishly. Well, I guess we've heard of it. Fun! I went to the college age. Man, you know something about fun? Here's what I want, and I want to unleash the creative power of these young kids to go and do their creative things, to take pictures, you know? If you see somebody in a connected conversation, if you see somebody, let's say, loving on somebody, you know, you get the feel of that. You can see when people are, I want you to like sneak up on them and take a picture. Because we got to celebrate this kind of connection, this kind of life, where life is happening. That's where we want to be. That's, you know, it's like, a stove and the logs. And you want that fire to get banked up good at night. And through the cold night, you get down to ashes. And in the morning, it's kind of where we're at. You want that fire to come back. So you got to get on your hands and knees and you got to blow. You got to get some kindling in there. And you got to blow on it. Let's get some warmth up in the house. And some fire. And all those kinds of things. And when people get to functioning in a way that's consistent with the way that they're gifted, you got something going on. You got something going on. You got something growing. You got something edifying itself. And notice it's filling up with love. And it's filling up with power. And it's filling up with... And that's when folks can see God's up to something around this place. There's maybe a reason to show up. Maybe there's something there for me. Maybe that's something I need. Everybody's functioning like that. So Jesus is wise. He gives us job descriptions, and it's always going to be in accordance with doing what it is that He's asked us to do, and it's always going to be consistent with how He's gifted us. For 3 years, I believe, roughly, Jesus walked the earth. He said to his disciples, watch me do this. Come along. Come on. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Just watch how I do this. Watch me now. They watched him. And then he said, now, won't you help me now? Help me do this. Let's do this together. That's another level. That's another stage. For 3 years, he's building these guys, building them, building them. He's equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Just watch. Okay? Now, come on. Do it with me. Let's do it together. It's fun. It's not that bad. Now, why don't you just try it? You try it. You've seen me do it. We've done it together. Now it's time for you to give it a shot. See how it goes. Then you come back to me. We'll talk about it. We'll see what worked, what didn't work. And we'll make this work together. I'm going to make sure you're in the spot that God designed you to be in, that he's gifted you to be. I'm going to put you in that spot. And then together we're going to get you to a place where you are a high-functioning minister within the context of the body of Christ. See, that's what minister just means, service, mutual service. We used to think minister, oh, that's dude, that's this dude in a suit, right? Or whatever. But no, ministry means service. And we're all called to be ministers in that sense, to serve one another in love. So Jesus is generous. He gives everything that's necessary. He's wise. He puts us in the right place, and he gives us a very clear job description, which we need to learn from that. And then he has all of these purposes. He has all of these purposes, and I don't have time to look at them in detail this morning, but he purposes, and what he purposes, by the way, actually happens because he's God. And it is his purpose for the church to thrive. You can't read this passage without getting the sense of there's thriving and there's life going on here. He wants the church to be safe. Notice there's a negative side when the church isn't functioning. That's when the church becomes vulnerable. Doctrinal shifts and all kinds of questions and weird stuff that can happen, that people can be, you know, led into false thinking, false whatever. Because we haven't grown up. Verse 15 is really key. Speaking the truth in love, which is the means by which this growth happens in the context of the functioning body of Christ. You got to have, listen, I'm going to end here. I heard a phrase recently that I really like. And it's like people, this guy that's into this sort of work that I do. And he said, sometimes people call me a velvet brick. I say hard things, but I say them in love, okay? Now, all of us are different in this regard. Some of us, like, we're just up to our sort of natural instincts. Me, what do you think? You think I'm a velvet, or am I more like a brick? What? I'm both? Well, I have to be, but naturally, I'm just pure velvet. I'm a huge softy, okay? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to alarm anyone. I just want people to be encouraged and filled with hope. That is my natural instinct. And that is a gift, I think, also that God has given me. But in this process, we have to say hard things. We have to. If I'm going to function and actually, and I want to do a good job, I'm here to serve you folks, and I want to do the best job I possibly can in the power of the Holy Spirit with your help. And there's going to be a couple of bricks, okay? But see, that's that balance. Speaking the truth in love. Wrap your brick. Some of y'all, and I've been here long enough to know, there's a couple of folks in the room, some of you, I ain't bringing up no names or nothing. I'm just saying there's some that are more in the direction of bricks, naturally, not so much in the way of velvet. Let's get our bricks, but let's get them wrapped in velvet. And in kindness and in love, will bring the truth, the reality of the situation. You got to see it if you're going to fix it. And we can help each other with that. And we'll get on into this process that God has called us to. But in the meantime, please, let your hearts be filled with hope today. Not because you got Pastor Bob over here, but because you got Jesus. You got Jesus, and Jesus is wise. Jesus is generous, and he has all of these awesome purposes for his church, for his life to flow and for the church to grow and be effective in the execution of the Great Commission. And that's why I'm here, and that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So would you stand with me, and we're going to close with a song today. See if we can get this part right. For that, we'll need some musicians. Oh, here they come. Praise God. You see, we're figuring it out. By the way, we have talented musicians in this place. Isn't it wonderful? And so God bless you for your singing and for your playing.
Spirit Amen. Of the